Look at the book of Daniel, chapter 1. Child raising, book of Daniel, chapter 1. Now, the most important goal in child raising, the most important goal in child raising, write this down, is self-government under God. Self-government under God. So, self-government means you govern yourself under God as an individual. You are not part of a group. You don't belong to a group or a tribe or anything. As you are a baby, of course, you don't have any choices. But as you begin to grow, you, as a parent, you're teaching your children how to be an individual. Most parents do not teach their children to be an individual and stand against the entire crowd. To do that, you have to have an incredible strength, faith, character. So, I want to point out in Daniel how David, not David, but Daniel, was able to defy all the others, part of his peer group, and stick to the principle, stick to that which was right and true because of a personal relationship to God, because he feared and loved God. He feared and loved God, totally respected God. So as Christians, we fear and love God. We fear him, but we also love him. Two sides of the same coin. To fear him does not mean to be afraid of him. When you're teaching someone to be fearful, it's not be afraid of. It means to reverence or honor. To tremble at the word of. So, you want your children to tremble at your presence, to tremble at your word. Not because they're scared of you, but because they know that you have the words of life. They know that what you say is true. They know that you're for them. You're on their side. So when you tell them, and if you don't break children early on, so that, hey, stop, right there. You don't have to explain it. You don't explain to children. You just teach them utter obedience. And so if they trust you, they will obey. And they're not sure why they're doing it, but they're just doing it because they're little. They're little at that point. But they just freeze up. And that will save their life. So you're teaching them self-government. In other words, I'm going to govern you, and then I'm going to watch you govern yourself, and then you're going to govern yourself without me watching. So first of all, I teach them self-government by governing them. Strict, rigid. Okay? And so you do that in the beginning. And in the very beginning, of course, it's just pure love. In the very beginning, it's just pure love. So the first year or so, there's no discipline. There's no nothing. They don't even speak. They're just loved. They're just hugged, loved. There's no right and wrong. They're not moral. They're not responsible. But as they grow up, your main job in child raising is to teach them to stand alone. I remember my son when he went to high school. He was able to stand alone against all his friends. All of his friends went down to New Orleans for their senior thing, and they all, the rule was no drinking and no doing this and so on and so on. And so he went to bed. And all his friends stayed up and drank whiskey and, you know, messed around and did all kinds of things. They all got fired, or whatever you call it, from the school. Not one of them graduated. David was the only boy to graduate in his class. It's amazing. Now, these are all his best friends. That takes incredible strength to go against your best friends. But he knew the rule, and he disciplined himself because he governed himself and said, I'm not going to do it. It's not that I don't love those guys. He did. Those were close friends. He was in their home all the time. They were in his home. You know, those were his friends. And he loved them. But he loved his Lord more. Daniel had to make that decision. And so you teach your children that, you have taught them the best thing they could have. Would that church members were that disciplined as well, where they learn to hold their mouth, hold their tongue, govern yourself. Don't speak up so quickly. Be slow to speak, quick to hear. You know, don't worry about being a smart aleck and getting all your questions answered and so on. Just be quiet. If that teacher is not loving you and caring for you and doesn't know what to do, then go to another one. But you cannot learn anything if you're a smart talker and you always have to raise your hand and try to learn everything and show how smart you are and so on. You're not going to learn anything. Because you're not humble, you have no fear, and therefore you'll learn nothing. You'll get head knowledge, perhaps, but you will turn out to be undisciplined and unruly. So God breaks that in us. But we in America today, we do not teach our children self-government. I did. I don't have to do it now, but I did when my kids were small. I've even had a chance to do it with my grandkids as well. You can break them in 3 minutes. You can break them in just minutes. Anybody, I don't care how old they are, you can break them. You can break them at 60. You can break them at any time, but somebody has to at some point break them and put the fear of God in them. I was an adult before I had any fear, but you can learn it in minutes. Just like that. So you realize you're not God. You have a God above you. And you don't get to determine your life. And that is the only thing that will discipline you to say no when everyone else is saying yes. So if you don't have a vision, you'll perish. So you got to give a child a vision of how strong you are. My kids knew I was strong. What do I mean by strong? I mean that I would do what was right even if it cost me everything. I don't care. I'm not afraid of people. I'm not a people pleaser. I don't care what the neighbors are doing. I don't care what the world is saying. I don't care about psychology and philosophy. I don't care about anything. I'm sticking right here to this. This is my book right here. This is my book. They knew that I was well-read, but they also knew that I didn't care. That this is the only thing I respect. Here's where all my honor and respect goes. And so our house spoke that. It said that. Self-government under God. Each girl, you know, you could not tempt my girls. There's no way you're going to tempt them. They're going to marry a guy that pleases me. How does that happen? Well, because you teach them the fear of the Lord. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Again, you're not afraid of God. It means you respect that what He's going to tell you, what He's going to say is the truth, and it'll set you free. And so I know our son thanked God and told his friends, "I love my dad." They said, "Why?" He said, "Because my father always told me the truth." We didn't lie to him about Christmas or Halloween or whatever. There's no lies. We didn't sugarcoat the world. We told him how it was. You go out there, it's a devil world, but you can make it because you're a Christian. But you got to stay under Jesus. So the only way you can make it through this world is to be strong in the Lord. When we are weak, that's when we're strong. Because we're strong in the Lord. So self-government under God for each individual. Now, the whole world today has no individuals. The world today does not create individuals. The founding of this country was based on individuals. They respected one another, they honored one another, they feared one another. Today, it's all manipulations, games, tricks, and fitting in with the gang, peer pressure, all kinds of manipulation to break down the will of an individual. Every school system is breaking down the will of an individual. You do not care what your parents say. You do not care what the Constitution says. You will do what we teach you. And they teach them how to get along in little groups. Now, you think the other kids are going to like that if you do that? You see, they don't like that. So that's how they teach little kids and break them down so that they're like communists. Communists are broken down by the group. You learn to cooperate and get along or you have no value. So the only value is not God, which makes you a strong, self-governing individual, but is the group. And that's called group processing, group dynamics. It goes by 1,000 names, and it's all just, you know, philosophy and tricks. It's all lies. So the thing that, you know, I did at Yale, and the thing that I did in the Lutheran Church, and the thing that I've always done, is I was always an individual. I will never follow the crowd. I will never follow anybody. I'm not going to follow anybody. I'm going to follow God. You can't have two gods. You can only have one God. So that is the greatest thing to teach young people as they're growing up. How to be self-governing individual under God. How to be a self-governing individual under God. A self-governing. You got your government in. By the age of 12, if a child does not learn how to be self-governing, he will be a follower and he will get into trouble. If you have not learned by 12 to have that internal government inside that says, no, not going to do it. The others may be doing this, but I'm not doing it. Well, you got to have strength to go against your friends, to go against the crowd, to go against, you know, the wherever the nation is or whoever else. It's easy for me to say no to the crowd. I never trust the crowd. Never. Even when they're right, I don't trust them. Never. I'm always a loner. You have to be extremely strong to be a loner, to say no. Do you want to, we're all going to go out and do this, so you want to go? No. It's easy for me. I have any group I've ever been in, I just defy the group. I'm not going to do what the group says. We're all going to the, you know, to the bar. When we used to have minister meetings, they would all go to LaGrange, Texas, which has a reputation, and they would go to the bar, and then they would go other places. Do you want to go? No. Come on, we're all going. Let's all, you know, be together. I don't want to. It takes guts. It takes power. You've got to be self-governing. Not to be angry at them, because I wasn't. I just don't want to go. I'll stay here and read a book. Well, I mean, we're all going. Let's all be friends. I don't need that. I don't need friendship. What do you mean is let's all compromise, go down and drink a big pitcher of beer and, you know, I'll feel happy for a while. I don't want to do that. I don't need to do it. I can drink beer. I'm not afraid of beer. I just don't want to do it. I drink all the beer I want. I drink all the whiskey I want. We got tons of wine in our home. I'm sure I've never had a drink. But we've got tons of it. It's all up there in the cabinet, you know, 1500 and, you know, whatever these old wine bottles are or whatever. I don't care about them. I don't even think about them. I've never even checked to see if my kids emptied it out and put in, you know, grape juice or something. I never check. I don't think about it. It's not even part of my life. But it's because I'm a strong individual and I know, hey, even though I'm free to do whatever I want to do, I just choose not to do it. I'm not in need of attention. I'm not in need for someone to be my friend. Please be my friend, I'll do anything. I'm not in need of that. I won't do it. Because I stand for something. I fear God. So I teach my children the fear of the Lord. That's something you teach them. You can't do this if you don't have strength on the inside. You don't have a governor on the inside, a conscience that says, don't do it. Right? Now, when I was real young, even though I was a strong individual, I stole, lied, cheated. I did all that stuff without any problem at all because I was strong. Maybe the other kids didn't do it. I did it myself. I don't care if they do it or don't do it. But to the same extent, when I became a Christian, I stood against all of that because I was always an individual. I'm not going to let somebody else take care of me or feel bad if they don't. Do me in. Ruin my reputation. I don't really care. I'm not scared of that. I have never feared that. And I'll tell you what, you go to bed at night, you're peaceful. You've got to be self-governing under God. I hope none of you are followers. Jesus said, come follow me. Now when you do that, you can't follow anybody else. You can't have two masters. You can't follow Jesus and the crowd. You can't follow Jesus and your lusts. You got to decide what you want to do. Well, I'm strong. I have a strong will. How did I get that? I'm not strong-willed. It's like everybody else. But I am because I believe. Without a vision, the people perish, but I have a vision. I have a vision that God likes me. So, therefore, I'm not in any need. I don't need money. I don't need food. I don't need sleep. I don't need friends. I don't need anything. I got everything. Do you all have that? I am so strong, so rich, so full that I don't require anybody to help me out. Well, here, let us help you out. No, I don't want your help. Well, you're just going to walk? Yeah, I'll walk. I don't need a ride or I don't need anything. I'll take whatever Jesus brings me, but nothing more. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, if you want to be a compromiser, oh, you'll make it through life. People will like you. You'll be well set. Daniel is a great example in the scripture of somebody who stood against the crowd, did not go with his friends, his pals, anybody. Stood with Jesus, stood with God, stood still and said, you know, I'm going to follow the Lord. So when teaching children, I taught each of my children, you do not do what the world does. We do not follow the neighbors. We do not do what America does. We do what God says in this house. This will be a God house. Here's where we pray. We can be bored out of our skulls. We're going to do it anyway. Dad, is boring. Good. That's how you're learning it in my house. Be bored. So I didn't teach David, you know, to be, you know, interested. I don't care. Well, Peggy did. I think he's a little unhappy. Good. I never treated him like, you know, he was just weakling. That's good for him. Be strong. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Same with my girls. You could not tempt them. I just told them, hey, this is what the world's like. Here's what guys are like. You know, animals. That's a guy. You know, just make it clear. They will abuse you, they will use you, and then toss you away. So don't do it. I didn't have a lot of discussion and philosophy about it. Just don't. Never, ever go out on a date with a boy. You get in trouble. Now, you can go out with a big group of people and all have a good time. Because that's all you need is a big group of people and have a good time. But don't pair off and all this kind of stuff. That's when you get in trouble. That's when you get in trouble. I mean, I can tell you my stories, but I don't need to tell you my stories. I can just tell you that when I met the Lord, that's when that strength went inside of me. And I governed myself for the first time. So you've got to have that self-government under God. And Daniel is a great example. There's 100 examples in the Bible, but Daniel's a great example. King David was too. King David, when all the guys were urging him, kill Saul. It's right there. Get him. God's delivered him into your hands. He got him right there. You check with God. God, I got him right here in my hands. He said, no, don't touch him. Don't touch him. Whoa, David was he felt like cut off his skirt, and he just, you know, I shouldn't have even cut his skirt off. That was naughty. Well, you got to have strength to be misunderstood. Do you have the strength to be misunderstood and not defend yourself? It helps in marriage, too. You know, Peg attacks me on something. I'm not interested in defending myself. I don't care if she's right or wrong. Attack. Just attack. Why? Because Jesus likes me. You have to have a strong inner guidance system, an inner direction, the ability to say no. Can you say no to yourself? You see that ice cream right there? Don't eat it. I don't know if you can do that. If it's right there on the plate, I'm not going to eat it. Well, I could eat it. I just don't want to. Because I don't need anything. I'm not a slave to any man, anything, nothing. Are you a slave? Are you addicted to certain things? Are you a slave? They make your decisions for you. Well, I just couldn't say no. Really? Well, when you're self-governing under God and you fear God, you can't say no. Now, if you're not, you can't. I mean, why fool yourself? If you're just a weakling, be a weakling. I mean, if that's what you are, that's what you are. But you know what? If you were my son, if you were my daughter, if you were my wife, you're not going to do it. Because that's the way God taught me. The father that loves his son chastens him, whips the snot out of him, beats him to a pulp. That's the kind of God I want. Y'all understand that? Do y'all see this? This is very powerful. It's what will bring you happiness. If I indulge myself, follow the crowd, do what everyone else is doing, I will not find happiness. They are liars. They lie to me. If you'll drink this, you know, beer, or if you'll take this drug, or if you'll, you know, go out on this date with this girl, or whatever, it's just an empty lie. Yeah, it gives you a little fun for a few minutes, but it didn't bring you the happiness you were looking for. One time I did go out with the guys to the LaGrange bar, whatever it was. Forget what it was. It's not a very big town, so there's not a lot there. I think there's only a couple of things there. And you don't want to know what those things are. But anyway, I went down and we all had a pitcher of beer. I remember, fill them up, and I'm drinking the beer away, and all I do is go to the bathroom a lot. I mean, I didn't really see the camaraderie and, how we were all pals and friends. The guy stood up on the table, and, it didn't seem that deep to me. It's like, okay, this is the kind of fellowship I'm missing out on by not coming. give me another beer, except to go to the bathroom continually. I don't know. I didn't see how great that was. It isn't that I can't do it. I can do it anytime I want. I have all the ability in the world to do whatever I want, anytime. I'm not interested in prostitutes. I'm not interested in all those kind of things. I don't care about them. You understand? Now, how can you do that? Easy. I'm no different than anybody else. Easy. When you have a vision, that's what keeps you. You got to have that strong self-government on the inside that says, no, I will not do that. I will not go beyond that line. That's the line I draw, right there. And you know when you've eaten too much. You know when you've indulged yourself too much. You know when you've let somebody use you, manipulate you, abuse you. Now, I don't care what they want to do or what they've done. It doesn't bother me. But I don't have to do it or agree to it. Do you see what I'm saying? I always choose to be happy, and I'm always happy. Nobody makes me happy. Nobody is able to manipulate or persuade me. The only thing that would persuade me is the Word of God. You show me in the Word of God. And I taught my kids that. If you ask my daughter, when I said to her, honey, I don't want you to marry that guy. She's married to him, by the way, now. I said, I don't want you to marry him. But Dad, Jesus said I could. Well, if Jesus said it, then I'm wrong. But I'm sure you missed him. And she said, no, Dad, I'm sure you missed him. You better go back and check with Jesus because I heard him. I said, no, you better go back and check with Jesus because I heard him. So we set up a little war between her and me. Okay, you see if Jesus is... You go back, ask him again, see if your dad isn't right. See if you shouldn't submit to your dad. Dad, no, you go and see if you shouldn't oppress me. Now, I'm going to follow Jesus. So this was Kara, the oldest one. And so I said, okay, it doesn't seem like we're getting anywhere here. So here's the deal. One of us has heard God, and one of us hasn't. So I said, here's my command. Now, she was already old enough not to be commanded. Here's my command to you. Come home right now. I want you to come home right now. No. Okay, that's my command to you. Now, here's the consequence of saying no. I will not come to your wedding. I will not bless your wedding. I will never, ever be part of your life. That's it. So, you can either come home right now and we'll be part of your life and so on and so forth, or you can do that. Whatever you want to do. And none of the family's going to go. I will command them all. Do y'all see that? You don't have fun like I do. So she said, well, I'm not going to do it, Dad, because Jesus didn't tell me. See, I taught her how to be self-governing. Jesus hasn't told me you're right. When Jesus tells me you're right, and now she's going against me, but she's an adult. She's already grown. Enough time to get married. So I said to her, well, that's my word. And I'll just tell you that devil of a pastor you're dealing with right there, if he doesn't submit to me, you better tell him that I'm against this marriage, totally. Tell him, let him know that. So, pretty soon she calls up, she says, well, I'm coming home. What? You are? Well, yahoo! So she came home. So they didn't say anything the first day, didn't say anything the second day. And I'm excited. It's exciting because she came home. Okay, and so on the third day, I remember she stood right there between the kitchen and the dining room. Dad, now she's addressing me, she's self-governing. Dad, I think we should talk now. Woo, I'm ready. So we started talking. Anyway, I won't tell you what happened, but in the end, I said, you have heard God, and I will bless this marriage. Woo, she was happy. She was excited. But that's because I really had heard God. But I shared with her what I knew. I shared with her something that I knew. I said, I don't believe you know this. And she said, well, Dad, I know what I'm doing is of God. And she convinced me that she had heard God. So I yielded. I submitted to her, and I heard God too. And today they have 7 kids, happy as can be, great family, powerful. Self-governing means you can fight against even your dad that she knows loves her. She knows I would do anything for her. She knows I'd turn the earth upside down to bless her. But she also knew I'm going to go with God and not with dad. Just because he's my dad, I'm not going to do it. And each of my kids had to fight in order to be an adult. They had to go against their own dad. I wanted them to. You either got to take me and get God on your side, or you're going to be a follower. You're just going to be a weakling. If they just do what I say because I say it, they're weak. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? So you got to teach people, including church people, is no, we're not going to fake you, you know, make you feel guilty if you don't do something. If you don't do it, you don't do it. You have to be self-governing. If you're not self-governing, we're not going to inspire you. You know, have a choir up here and have a band and, you know, stained glass windows and whatever else people want. We're not going to do any of that. So if you don't come on your own and you're not self-governing, you don't know the Lord and you haven't been trained. And it's okay, you can get away with murder all you want, but it won't work. Sooner or later, you need to discipline yourself and you need to stand strong against all, you know. I mean, I can see why people make decisions. They're often making decisions totally in the flesh, and I can see it. You didn't hear God on that. You just want to do that because. I can see it's just sin moving you. But you're saying it's Jesus, but I know you're lying. Now, I didn't lie to my children, and I taught them not to lie. I taught them not to, you know, hide anything. And because of that, she submitted, but then I heard God, and I agreed with her. David, you went. You went to the wedding. Remember that wedding? That was powerful. It was powerful. So, who did? Luke, did you go too? That was powerful. It's powerful. And it's still powerful. Because she did not do what Daddy said, she did what her Father in Heaven said. Do you see that? And she held out. To hold out against your Father that loves you. And she has never rebelled in her whole life. She was not a rebellious person. But she was determined to do what she thought God told her to do. And I always taught her that. Don't do what anybody tells you, including me. You do what you believe Jesus told you, even if you're wrong. Go with it. Even if you get in trouble, go with it. That's strong. That's strong. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, raising someone, listen to Daniel. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem, and he besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar. That's the same thing as Sumer, which is the same thing as Mesopotamia. That's Iran and Iraq, by the way. To the house of his God. And he brought the vessels of Israel, the holy vessels, into the treasure house of his God. And the king spoke to Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. So that means Daniel was a royal son. He was a prince. He was of the royal house of David. So, here's Daniel, and he belongs to the royal house, and he could have ruled in his own land. But here, he's sent by an enemy that captures his land, captures his church, captures everything, and Daniel's reduced to nothing. But the prophet had said, you remember the Jeremiah the prophet? He had said, don't worry, Israel, submit to your overlord, because you've sinned. Submit to your overlord, because you've sinned. But never compromise. Even though you're in Babylon, because you've sinned, just repent of your sins. But don't compromise. Well, Daniel had been taught that. He'd been taught, you are part of the royal heir. You could rule. You could be a political, strong political figure. Because you have not a priestly background, not a prophetic background, but you have a kingly, royal background. So, This leader, Nebuchadnezzar, who was one of the greatest kings in the Old Testament. There would be few kings that are greater than he is. Very powerful king. The most golden, the most glorious. And he built Babylon. To this day, it's still a proverb. It's still something powerful. So he said, gather to me out of every nation that we've captured, bring me some of their kids. It's kind of like when America now runs the world, people come from all nations, go to our schools, you know, and train them. But in those days, they trained them to be Nebuchadnezzar's boys and then send them back to their country to take over. All right, you're from Israel, but let's get them when they're young and train them. Now, here's the deal. That long before Daniel was 12 years old, he'd already been trained, bar mitzvah. He already knew the truth. He had his language down, he had his scriptures down, he feared God, he knew what Jeremiah the prophet had said, so he had a vision. He knew that God would never fail his people. And even though they went into bondage, he knew it's only temporary. Okay, right now I'm suffering, but it's just temporary. Okay, things look bad right now, but it's just temporary. I will never lose, because I know my God is the God. That's strong. When you have a God like that, I know I'll never fail, because I know God always wins and the devil never wins. So why would I cooperate with the devil? Because he's going to lose. He's a loser. The devil has never told the truth yet. He just doesn't tell the truth. And I used to be a consummate liar. I can lie so easily. Even now as a Christian, I can lie. I'm so gifted. I'm so natural at it. I'm a born liar, a deceiver, a con artist. If I went into sales right now, I would be awesome. I am so dedicated, so focused, so single passionate about whatever I'm doing. I could cheat people without one, you know, one conscience at all. Throw the conscience out, just cheat them. I'd be so good at that. But now I'm ruined. Because Jesus came into my life, ruined me. Now I can't do all that. So I'm governed by Jesus, and it isn't against my will. I want to be. I'm choosing to be. I'm faithful to Peggy forever. Forever. As long as we live, Peggy's my wife. I'm trying to think of killing her, but as long as we live, she'll be my wife. No. I want her to live, you know, as long as I live. So she'll probably outlive me. I'm sure I'm going to fall apart one of these days. But maybe I won't. You never know. I mean, God has a sense of humor. It may keep me around. But one thing, I'm having a good time. I'm having a wonderful time on this earth. I like enemies. I like bad people. It doesn't trouble me or bother me at all. Amen? That's how I get along with y'all. I like religious phonies. I like anybody, witchcraft people, Christians, just mix them all together, they're okay with me. Why? Because I'm not trying to lord it over. I don't have to trick anybody. I don't have to do any of that trick stuff anymore. The only guy I'm worried about is Jim. I'm not worried about Peggy. I'm not worried about church members. I'm not worried about my kids. I'm not worried about anybody. I'm a full-time job just to take care of myself, make sure I fear and love God. Okay? Self-government under God. Spirit, soul, body. My spirit, I love Jesus. My soul is learning to yield and to love Jesus. And my body is lagging behind like the caboose on a train. It's coming along. Do you all understand that? So my intentions are a lot faster and greater than my actual. Yeah, I forgot, Peg. I meant to say I loved you. Forgot. See, my intention was to say it, but I forgot about it. Is anybody else like me? I was going to do something good, but I forgot all about it. Something else came up, and I forgot. So my intentions are always greater than my actions, and you cannot figure out who I am because of my action. Because my action wasn't at all what I intended. So sometimes Peg will say, well, what you just did shows you don't even care. Oh, no, I care. Well, it didn't look like it. Well, I know, that was my action. My action didn't show what I really care, but you don't make the conclusion that that was who I am. That's just what I did. Do you all understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, intentions are never equal to actions. Never. You are always going to be intending to be something more than you are. Is anybody else like me? I mean, I have a real good view of who I could be. But I'm not always like that. I fall short of my, ooh, I didn't do that, did I? Sorry. You know, so I forgive myself quickly. When I mess up, I just quickly forgive myself. It's okay, Jim. Jim, calm down. It's okay. I just defaulted. Do you, anybody here have a default system? You just fall back into your old deal. You know, every once in a while you just get frustrated with Jesus. Gee, I've been following you way too long here. I just got to take a break. And I just fall back into sin. Has anybody ever done that? Just feels good to yell at people every once in a while. Just feels good to go to the mall and shop and be, you know, lustful of stuff. And every once in a while it just makes you feel normal. Has anybody ever done that? I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it happens. It happens. Amen? You all follow me? But when you train children to be self-governing under God at 12 years old, it's exactly why bar mitzvah takes place at 12 years. It's exactly why confirmation takes place in the Catholic Church, in the Lutheran Church, and in the Anglican Church at age 12. And it's the same with girls and boys. So at that age, 12, that is a great transitional age, just before you're a teenager. Or just as you're becoming a teenager. Because that's when all the changes take place in kids. They shift from the family to the peer. They're no longer, you know, mom and dad's little girl and boy. Now they're on their own. And they're going to do what others do. Hey, the others are doing this tonight. I'm going to do it too. No, you're not. So there you have a little battle right there. Does that make sense? So you don't want to lose it right there. And a lot of parents aren't sensitive to that age. That is the greatest age of all. They could either, you know, throw their life away at age 12 and 13, or they can firm their life at 12 and 13. So that's exactly where I put all the emphasis and weight when I was growing them up. I prepared for that day when they'd get to that point. And so I started teaching when they were 2 and 3 and 4 for that day. That was always in my head. From the time they were born, just like your little Jedediah, from the time they were born, I began to think about they'll be 12 someday. And when they're 12, I've got to reach them. So I've got a few years, got a little head start here. I've got to break them. I'll break their will. They will not do what they want. They will do what I tell them. And then later, they will learn voluntarily to do the will of God and not my will. And I'll release them at 12. I'll release them to God. I'm not releasing them to the peer group. I'm not releasing them to themselves. I'll take the risk that they'll go with God if, in fact, I didn't lie to them, if I told them the truth. Do you all see that? So I bared myself at 12. They didn't know who I was until they were 12. Then I bared myself and said, here's how I raised you. Here's what mom and dad believe. We probably fell way short on that. If you know of anything, you could mention it. And, you know, and they, you know, can you think of any sins dad has ever done? You know, and they're struggling to think of something. Want me to help you out a little bit? Oh, yeah, you did that. Well, I want you to forgive me for that. That was evil. That was a bad dad right there. That was bad. But let's not talk about mom. Let's just talk about dad. Do you hear what I'm saying? So we came to that strength that, you know, your parents sometimes aren't angels. Has anybody discovered that? They're not angels. Your parents are not devils either, but they behave like devils sometimes. Sometimes they do not do what Jesus would have done, right? So you have to teach people, even if they're adults, how to be self-governing under God so that you do only the will of God. To do that, you're not going to get that by talking. Talk won't do it. Sermons won't do it. Even teachings like this one won't do it. The only thing that's going to break you is real life experience. You have to be discipled or disciplined or trained through real life experience. Hey, what would happen if I go my own way? You don't have to teach people how to do it. They just will do it. Okay, go your own way. See if that really thrills you. See if that really is exciting. You know, see if it works. I guarantee you it won't work. I can guarantee you, I absolutely guarantee it. It won't work. You cannot get happiness out of a beer bottle. You're not going to get happiness out of an addiction. You're not going to get happiness because you got a friend. You're not going to get happiness from anything this world has. Never. Not even closely, remotely possible. That's why going down to the beer joint with all those guys, you know, we all felt warm and fuzzy. You know, it didn't do much for me. It's kind of like, this is it? This is, you know, a lot of girls, when they get married, you know, they wait, save themselves. finally get married, and then they go, is this it? That's it? It's like, wasn't what I thought it was going to be at all. It's a big disillusionment to people. The guys are okay, but the girls are kind of disappointed in the whole thing. Do y'all understand what I'm talking about? Not exactly what I thought. You know, I was saving myself for this wonderful experience. And he was happy, and he's now going to watch TV. Here I am. You see, you all see that? So you have to tell people the truth so that when they face everything, they're pre-armed. They're already armed. Well, let's see what happens to Daniel. And the king, he said, you know, gather all these together. Verse 4, children in whom there was no blemish, but well-favored. In other words, they look good. They're good-looking. Skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So here's Daniel. He speaks Hebrew. He knows his own native language. Now he's going to learn, and they're going to teach him. They're going to send him to class where he's going to learn another language. Did you know that one of the languages I learned was the language of the Bible? You got to learn the language of the Bible. I don't mean reading it in the original Hebrew and Greek. I mean, just learn how God thinks, because it's totally different than the way we think. He puts everything on his head. He puts everything upside down. It's just the opposite of what I thought. You know, in the world, it's defend yourself and preserve yourself. In the kingdom of God, it's give yourself away and you don't worry about it. It's just the opposite. In the world, it's the first shall be first. In the kingdom of God, the first shall be last. I mean, it's just the opposite. He turns everything upside down. In the world, it's dog eat dog. In the kingdom of God, it's love your neighbor as yourself. It is amazing. When you suffer, you laugh. But in the world, when you suffer, you hate. You know, it's totally opposite. So you got to learn the language of the Bible. So he's going to learn the tongue of the world. He knows already God's plan and everything, but he also knows Israel messed up. Religion didn't work. Religion can be a real letdown. Of all the things on the earth, the thing to get right is religion. If you get religion right, it's really good. But so few people do. Almost everybody gets hurt by it because they're believing lies. It's too easy to get a lie. But here's the truth. Teach your children to be self-governing under God. In other words, every decision you make, let it be of God. I can tell you that my daughter, Kara, the oldest one, I can tell you, she's making decisions based upon God. She keeps a journal. She's talking to Jesus. She says, whenever we talk or something, she'll just say, well, Jesus showed me this, and Jesus showed me that. That's what I taught her when she was 12. It's exactly what I taught her. Here's how to read the Bible. Here's how to keep a journal. Here's how to make decisions. Here's how to keep your soul happy. Here's this, here's that. Just teach them everything. And they're like sponges at 12 years old. 12-year-olds do not like to be lied to or anything. Tell them the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Now, they don't have experience, but they're listening carefully to what you're saying. And don't lie to them. Don't ever lie to them. 12-year-olds, 11, 12-year-olds, oh, they're a great age. A great age to teach people. Because they want to know the whole truth. Hey, don't lie. Don't commit adultery. You see, I don't want an explanation of why you don't. Like, well, if you commit adultery, you might get pregnant. I don't want to hear that nonsense. God says don't, don't. No explanation. I never told my kids all kinds of things like that. Just don't do it. God says not to. That's the bottom line right there. Not because this will happen and that'll happen and, you know, this and that. I don't want to get into all that nonsense. I just tell them, don't do it. I mean, that saves time. 12-year-olds like that. Go straight to the point. What is it you want to say, Dad? Say it. Do you understand it? That is great for kids. Maybe the father is a ne'er-do-well. Maybe the father's a philanderer. Maybe he's, you know, so on. They just tell your kids, hey, let's pray for Dad. You don't have to explain what it is. Let's just pray for Dad. You teach children to respect and honor their father no matter what. Because fathers are not to be trusted, but they're to be loved. Do you see that? Do y'all see that? So that's how you teach people these basic things so they can be self-governing under God. That's the truth. The truth is, oh, you'll get hurt if you trusted your father or your mother or yourself or your friends. Don't trust anybody. That's the first thing that makes you an individual, is there's nobody I can trust. There's nobody that I can go to and open myself up with. Oh, I have a friend. I can share everything with this friend. Yeah, well, they'll probably steal your husband, so I would not go there. I would not go there. I don't believe in that. I don't believe anybody is trustworthy. That is the first thing you need to know, is put your trust in the Lord. Put not your trust in man or in a prince or a leader. Well, Daniel was chosen, and he knew that truth. He knew that truth. So here's what happens. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat. I mean, kings get good meat. They're not just eating burgers. They're getting the best. I mean, they're eating really good. So every day, these young people that he's raising up to train them, he's getting them used to the fine food of the king. I tell you, every day I eat the fine food of the king. Do you eat that? Every day I'm eating the fine food of the king. I'm eating the king's best. It's called the Word of God. That's called the Word of God. That is the food I want to eat every day, because that's the truth. I'm eating that. That is good stuff. But anyway, so he said here, and the king appointed them daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. So here they are eating the king's meat. That's good, because they're not just eating, you know, French fries. They're getting meat, really strong meat. Well, in the Jewish religion, you don't do it that way. You don't drink that strong wine, no matter how good it is, because that will do something to your brain. It fuzzes you up so that all of a sudden you're feeling really good again. You know, and then you're not able to make decisions. You can't be self-governing. The minute I let alcohol or drugs or, you know, other people make my decisions, I'm no longer a person. I'm no longer an individual. I'm no longer responsible, because the alcohol made me do that and the drug made me do that. Whenever Peggy is loving, I know she's had an Excedrin. And she was loving the other day, and I asked her if she had an Excedrin, and she said no. So that was really a rare thing. I mean, this is kind of like all on your own. You're actually hugging me, and you didn't even have an Excedrin? Because a lot of people depend on stuff to make them happy all the time. I don't need yoga. I don't need stuff. I don't need alcohol. I don't need anything. I'm always happy. Why? Self-governing. Why? That's, I fear God. And I love God. And I'm totally fulfilled. I don't want anything. I don't need anything. I'm not scared of anything. I don't care if you take away everything I've got. It doesn't bother me. I'll just get it again. I'm not worried about it. If I need it, I need it. If I don't need it, I don't need it. You can ruin me. It doesn't hurt me a bit. I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to get sad. I got all my happiness, all my joy already in Jesus, and I don't trust people anyway. So when you hurt me, it doesn't hurt. When you speak against me, it doesn't go anywhere. You hearing me? Well, that person said something against me. Really? Cool. Let it be. It doesn't bother me. And the only reason I'll say anything is for their good. I'm not going to say it for my own good. I don't need people to admire me. Do you think people admire Jesus? Do you think they love Jesus? Do you think Jesus was understood? His own disciples didn't even understand him. One time they said, "Oh, now we understand." And he said, "Do you?" Meaning, no, you don't. You don't have a clue. And then he told them, "Oh, by the way, the Son of Man's going to be killed, and in 3 days he'll rise again." They didn't even hear it. Like, what? What? No. God forbid. That shows how much understanding they had. Because they thought if you were holy, you couldn't suffer. But righteous people suffer in this world. You want to be good, you'll pay for it. That's why going bad is better. If you go bad, you don't suffer, because everybody likes you, because you're willing to compromise. But when you're not, and you stand against them, they'll pay you back. They'll get you. I like that. I like being God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just forgive them. It's nothing. You can't throw me. If God wants me to win, I'll win. God doesn't want me to, you know, it's a good way for me to quit. Woohoo! Do y'all see what I'm saying? If this church burned down, it wouldn't bother me a bit. I don't care. I'm not stuck on anything. I'm always happy no matter what. Are you like that? It takes self-government to do that. You can't be dependent on anything out there to rely upon. I don't trust anything. I don't need anything. I have everything. Do you have everything? If you got Christ Jesus, He freely gives you all things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and I'll give you everything else. That's what He said. Do I need to see it to believe it? No, I don't. I don't need to see that to believe that. I totally believe that everything is going my way. I believe that I'm totally on top of everything. Woohoo! I mean, I'm obviously not. You just look. You don't see it. You don't see that, you know, I'm a world ruler. Nobody can see that. Handful of people, you know. It doesn't look like I'm a world ruler, but I'm actually influencing the whole world. Why? Because I'm doing what the King of Heaven said, Jim, do this. Love your wife right now. Don't worry about the whole world. Just do your wife. And praise God. I'm content with that. Just be loyal with David. Just be truthful to the people and so on. I'm just doing my thing. I'm not worrying about how big I am or how great I am or how poor I am or anything. I don't care about all that. All I'm going to do what God says, and if He wants to promote me, He can promote me like that. But I have to tell you this. I have trained myself economically, politically, spiritually, and in every way to be a ruler and a leader anywhere in the world you put me. I could go into a prison. I could reconstruct it. I mean, I could redo it because I have thought through and I've prayed through and I've studied and worked to be a ruler, to be a servant wherever I go to help people. And I can do it anywhere. I can go anywhere. I can go to the bus station tonight. I can go anywhere. Just put me anywhere out in the middle of a field. I don't care where you put me. I will be a ruler under God. Do you all understand that? So I don't need anybody to give me anything or like me or follow me or anything. I don't need that. I don't want that. I want to do what God wants me to do. God wants me to be home tonight, I want to be home. If He wants me to be running the world, I want to run the world. If He wants me to not, then I'm not going to do it. I can change like that. The minute He ends something, it's gone. I never think of it again. I'm never going to look back. I'm never going to think about it. I'm never going to wish I was doing it. It's over. For example, I'm no longer politically involved, and I don't want to be. I'll never be again. I'm not interested in it. It means nothing. I don't need to worry about that. That's just one-third of my life I don't have to waste my time with anymore. It's good. But as long as I did it with the utmost. I did it with everything I had. And I never compromised. I never lied. I never cheated. I never undermined anybody. I didn't have to do it. So you can't say to be a politician, you have to be corrupted. No, you don't. I wasn't. And you never have to be. And I'll tell you what, I know I influenced the top people in this state. I know I had a big influence on David Dewhurst, who now, you know, runs the state. And he can call me on the phone personally, and he has. He can call me on the phone. But I know it, to this day, I'm his friend. That means I didn't try to win him over or anything like that. It's just that he recognized, when he came to town here, you don't even know this, when he came to town, of all the people, he picked me and said, you are going to be my kitchen cabinet for Tarrant County. In other words, you're going to be on my inner cabinet. People don't even know that. And when he was allowed, he said, I'm going to go for the Senate of the United States, or I could be lieutenant governor. What do you think? And I said, piece of cake. You're going to be lieutenant governor. You're not going to be senator. He said, but my whole life, I've wanted to be senator. And right now, by the way, he's about to be, he can do it. But I said, you're going to be lieutenant governor, and you're not going to be senator. Why do you want to be a little fish in a big pond when you can be a big fish in a little pond? What's bigger than Texas? Stay right here, or I can keep an eye on you. And to this day, if I walk down to, you know, Austin, the door will open up. Anyway, I have many, many friends that I can access. Could name my mother. It's not important. But when God says it's over, it's over. That's the end of it. Don't want to do it anymore. So I'm content with that. I'm happy with that because I'm not trying to get anywhere. I'm not trying to go anywhere. I'm not trying to accomplish anything. I'm not trying to build 10,000 member church. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just teaching a few people whatever God gives me. I'm happy with it. I'm content with it. I could be the head of many things that I'm involved in. I don't want to be. I want God to tell me when He wants me to be, and then I will be. Or not. It doesn't mean anything to me. Why be bigger than you really are? Just be the size you are. What's wrong with being the size you are? I could do it, but also I could not do it. It just all depends on Jesus. Well, that's Daniel. Listen to Daniel. See what happens, because this guy got promoted by God. Now, among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah, Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. So he gave him those names. Those are Babylonian names. How could the people of God get Babylonian world pagan names? See, something happened. Something happened. A lot of times the people of God don't have a good name. You got pagan names. That's all right. We deserve to be humbled. I'm all for America getting humbled. Doesn't bother me. I'm not going to defend it, right or wrong kind of thing. No, when it's wrong, it's wrong. The thing that makes America great is an individual like myself. And I don't care about the crowd. I don't care how many people are for whatever they're for. Homosexual thing, I'm not for it. You know, this kind of thing and that. No, I'm not for it. I don't have to compromise. I'm never compromising. I don't care if I'm right, and I don't care if everybody agrees with me. I'm not even trying to convince them. I'm just going to stand where I stand. And, you know, right now I'm out of favor. But, you know, things could change and I'd suddenly be in favor. If Ronald Reagan were still president, I could be part of Ronald Reagan's, you know, business. It just depends on who's in power. But I don't want to be part of a corrupt system. I want to be part of, you know, where I can be myself. I don't care about anything. I'm not trying to get anything. But Daniel purposed in his heart. But Daniel purposed in his heart. But Daniel purposed in his heart. Ah, there, if you get a child that will purpose in their heart. And I told my kids when they were growing up, you know what? You're going to be a mighty man of God, David. Kara, you're going to be a mighty woman of God. Kirsten, you are a mighty woman of God. And they didn't argue. Just listening. They're just kids. Little kids, they're just listening. They don't even know what that means. They just know that's what Dad said I'm going to be. Margaret, you're going to be a mighty woman of God. You see? And that was the vision that I gave them. You are part of the kingdom of God, and that's all that matters to me. Grades don't matter. Boyfriends, getting married, having money, being good looking, that means nothing to me. I don't care about any of that. That's all incidental, accidental. I don't care about it. What matters is you love the Lord with all your heart. And on the inside, you're rich because you're able to govern yourself. This is how to raise children. But Daniel purposed in his heart. But Daniel purposed in his heart. That is powerful. I've purposed in my heart to be the greatest man of God on the face of the earth. I've purposed in my heart. Years ago, I said, God, I'm the lousiest person you've ever got on your team. But I intend to be, by your doing, I intend to be the most godly pastor, the most godly man of God you've ever had. I mean, I may be equal to somebody else, but I'm not going to be less. I'm not going to be less. And I'm not talking about rank. I'm not talking about title. I'm not talking about how it looks. I'm just talking about on the inside, purposing in my heart. And when I hear you someday say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master, I'm not going to be surprised like, did he say my name? I'm not going to be surprised. Why? Because I know I've lived with him day in and day out. I talk to him every day. I love him. I love him. I love to sing to him. I love to praise him. I love to confess my sins to him. I just do everything. Everything with Jesus. I'm not scared of him. I'm not frightened of him. I like him. He likes me. He loves me. He just thinks I'm cool. And I agree with him. That's his view of me. I know Margaret used to say that. Dad, you know I'm kind of cool. That was good. She understood she was a neat person. That's better than a kid thinking, you know, I'm such a disappointment. No. She knew that the kids at school, they like me. They think I'm the greatest. That's who you are. You're right. That's not pride. What that is seeing yourself as God sees you, as a winner because you're part of the kingdom of God. Do you see what I'm saying? That's not pride. That's not pride. That's not, you know, me being great. It just means I don't see myself as nothing. I may see myself as something in the eyes of God. If you're something in the eyes of your mother or your father or your pastor or whatever else, that means something. That means a lot. Do you see what I'm saying? And that's the way I see people. That's the way I see people. That's the way I see Luke. I see Luke, mighty man of God, powerful. That's the way I see him. I'll never see him any other way. I don't care anything. I don't care what I hear. That's the way I see it. Because I don't know why. There's just something God puts in you. So I don't accept when people mess up. I don't accept that as that's who they are. I just say that's where they are right now. That's what it looks like right now. They're on their way to sitting on the throne. They're just going a funny way. They'll get there. They'll get there. Because that seed that went in early, purpose in your heart. I remember, Luke, when you were 11, and you could not come to confirmation until you were 12. I remember that. I told you, no. I want to come now. No. We have a rule here. 12, not 11. I want to come now. No. Pretty soon he wore me down. And pretty soon he was in there. It's powerful. That's powerful. That's strength. That's strength. That even when you're told no, you don't take no for an answer. Do you know God likes that? When God says no to you, it doesn't mean no. God, could you please do this? No. He doesn't mean no. He means how bad do you want it? He means how bad do you want it? And while I'm pressing in, I'm going, well, okay, I really just wanted it for my pride, but that's not right, is it? You know, and pretty soon I'm cleaning my act up and saying, okay, God, here, I want this to serve you. Okay, that was a lie. All right, I wanted both to serve you and to get pride. You know, and pretty soon you'll work it out until you get it right, and then God will give it to you. Do y'all see what I'm saying? He's kind of worked through that kind of stuff. Have you ever been like that? You ever been like that? So, you can be a mighty woman of God or a man of God and still sin. That doesn't stop you from being a mighty man or woman of God. What you need, though, is to realize, what do I do when I sin? When I sin, not if I sin, but when I sin, what do I do? Do y'all understand? So, you know, well, what first thing I do is I don't feel guilty. I'm not gonna feel condemned. I'm not gonna hate myself. I'm not gonna beat myself up. I'm not gonna feel like I'm a loser. I'm not gonna feel like I'm a weakling. I just know, well, I did wrong. But that's not who I am. Even though I just did wrong, I'm not gonna go by that. I'm gonna go by my intention in my heart. I purposed in my heart to be a mighty man of God. And even though I don't look like I'm there, looks like I'm going in the wrong direction, I'm still purposed in my heart. You see that? So Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. I ain't meeting it. I'm not going to eat that meat. I'm not going to eat the delicacies because I know that meat eating, that red meat stuff, that's not good for the body. Do y'all understand that? I mean, that's a big deal in America. You know why? Because the meat people do that. They make it so that, you know, eating big, you know, a lot of chicken, a lot of meat and so on. That's just the chicken people and the meat people and the milk people selling their product. You understand? But you're not really asking God what's good for you. A lot of meat is not good for you. You can eat it. It's not poison. But you don't need to eat a lot of it. You got to be careful about meat. So a lot of our sicknesses are related to meat eating. A lot of Americans are too fat because they eat too much meat. And potatoes and a lot of other stuff. You can't just eat any old thing. You all following me? And so Daniel said, as a 12-year-old, I'm not going to eat the king's meat. Well, you got to. You're not in charge here. Daniel said, I don't care. I purposed in my heart. I'm not going to do it. I'll take the consequences. So they boot me out. Let them boot me out. I'm not going to do it. Don't want the king's meat. I don't want the delicacies that go along with it. I'm not the kind of person that says, I wish I could go to a restaurant and eat caviar. I don't care about caviar. I don't care what it is. I'm not moved by that kind of stuff. Nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested, didn't demand, requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He was telling him, look, I'm Jewish, and we're not allowed to, you know, eat a lot of that, and I don't want to do that, and I don't want to have that diet. I'd like to come up with my own diet. So he came up with his own diet. I'm telling you, if you could control your stomach, your food intake, teenagers, that is a big thing for them. Some are bulimic, you know, and they go to great extremes. They even eat food and then go and throw up and stuff like this. just to stay slim. Well, that's a sickness. But so is overeating a sickness. And so, you know, as a teenager, you can just get, you know, what do they call those things on your face? Pimples or whatever, acne or whatever, you know, because you're eating too much French fries or whatever. You're getting, you know, and teenagers, their bodies aren't made for all that kind of rich, too rich junk food. Right? You all aware of that? So now they got medicines now that you can put on you and so on. But that's not the way to do it because you just lied to your system. It's one reason why I never take medicine. I don't take it. Don't take it. I don't take aspirin. I don't take Excedrin. I don't take anything. So just let me be sick. I'm not afraid of sick. Last time I said that, I got sick. I did. I said that. And 3 days later, I was sick as a dog. But also, 2 days later, I was perfect. And I didn't take anything. I didn't do anything. Just prayed to Jesus. Jesus, tell me what to do. Show me what to do. I was perfect. Y'all understand? Because there's nothing went into this body. I don't give it a lot of artificial stuff. I don't eat a lot of meat. I don't eat a lot of anything. I don't. So I'm skinny. But I'm not skinny. I don't care about it. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. In other words, he liked that boy. I tell you, when you are strong on the inside, people notice that. Wow, you've got something. My kids are attractive. To be around my kids, they're just attractive people to be around. I mean, they all, you know, Kara, the oldest one, she does the church books and she plays the piano and, you know, just people come to her and have Bible studies and all this stuff. She's a leader. She's not only got 7 kids, but she does all this other stuff too. Just practically run the whole place. And then Kirsten, she's always the, you know, top of this and doing all that and whatnot and so on and so forth and decorating and, you know, just does everything. And the same with David and the same with Kara. They're just neat people to be with. And they're not anxious. They're not nervous. They're trying to get anywhere. They don't care. They just do their job. And they're just neat people to be with. They don't have 2 agendas. They have 1 agenda. Love Jesus. That's all. And they just do all that other stuff, but they don't work at it. But people trust them. They'll come to them and say, you know, how come you're single and you're not nervous? It's because I didn't want to be married. When I meet the right person, I'll know and then I'll get married. But right now, I'll just wait and I'm having fun. I'm going to Europe. I'm doing, you know, she's in New York right now. She just does what she wants to do. She's having a good time. And I totally trust her. Because you can put her in the middle of wherever you want to. She's going to tell them about Jesus. Hey, that's dumb. Stop that. You need Jesus. That's Margaret, you cannot pull anything off on her. She'll just speak her mind. She'll just tell you, no, that's wrong. What's wrong with your head? You know, she'll just tell you straight out like that. That is crazy. You need to read the Bible. I love that. She's totally direct. There's no other game going on. That's good. Self-governing. Self-governing. Now, this guy liked Daniel. And the prince of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? In other words, he doesn't want to see you all emaciated. Then shall he make me endanger my head. You're getting me in trouble. The king told me to do this. Come on, I don't have a choice on this. You got to eat his meat and drink his wine, because otherwise you'll look pathetic. He said, no, I'll tell you what. And here's where you got wisdom. Here's where you get wisdom when you're one of God's people, self-governing. God, show me how to get out of this one. If I go this way, it's wrong. If I go this way, it's wrong. I'm damned if I do, and I'm damned if I don't. I want to do the right thing. So because God had given him favor with this eunuch, he's telling him, he's opening up and saying, Daniel, I can't do that. And Daniel then comes up with this wisdom. He says, God, he can't do it. Here's the deal. So here's the deal. Then said Daniel to Meltzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants. Ah, here's some wisdom. I beseech thee only 10 days. Just give us 10 days and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. In other words, he's going to eat beans. He's going to eat, you know, just, you know, soybeans, or, you know, he's going to eat some lentils. He's going to eat some, you know, good healthy vegetables. Just give us that and water. Water! That's not, I'll tell you what, that is my favorite drink, water. And it's my favorite drink. And here's a brother right here, Harry. Harry, help me with water. I said, you know, you should drink water out of a silver pitcher, because silver purifies water. And we didn't have one. And I went down to try to buy one. I couldn't find one. They're hard to get. And Harry and his wife said, well, we got one. We got an extra one. You can have ours. And every day, Harry, I'm drinking, just pouring that thing in. It's got that little silver all in it, and I'm drinking that down. It's good. I love good water. We send it through the filter and purifier and then put it into that thing and just let it sit there. And just pour it out and drink it. It's great. Good water. There's nothing like good water to keep you healthy. You know, you can get a guy to drink all the wine he wants, but he won't be as healthy as I am. Not going to be healthy. I mean, water does everything. It neutralizes everything. It's the most wonderful thing. I also drink juices, but I don't want to drink anything that's man-touched. I don't want the man-touched stuff. Because that, when men touch it, it's no good. It's polluted. I don't like any improvements. I like just the way God makes it. Don't cook my food up a lot. Just kind of, you know, warm it up a little bit and then give it to me raw. That's the way I like it. So it's easy to cook for me. Here's your potato. Here's your beans. Eat these. I love that. I love that. Peggy can't believe it, you know. Is this all you want right here? Here's a potato. It's good. It was easy to please me because I don't want all that cooked stuff. I mean, she'll cook it till it's beat, you know, it's just totally no nutrients or nothing in it. What is this here? That's a pea. Well, it looks like it's all shriveled up. I want them where they're real pea looking. I like raw. But you know what? Raw foods are the best. And now people who are dietitians are learning that. If you just eat, you know, good water and raw foods, that's the best for you. I eat a lot of nuts every day, a lot of, you know, what else do I eat? Whatever it is. All the, you know, the natural stuff, just grains and seeds and nuts and stuff like that. And that's good for you. And I chew it 100 times. I don't know how many times you chew. I chew 100 times. And if it's a grape, 60. 60 on grapes. If it's peanut butter, it might be 150. Especially on, you know, whole wheat bread or some grain. I like to buy that homemade, really good bread. Something that you chew and it's like something. It's not like Mrs. Baird's stuff where you can just roll it all up and it's made out of air. I like the real stuff. Anyway, keeps you going. Mark, you learned that. If you eat better, you feel better. It's good for you. Amen? But drink a lot of water. So here all he's eating is pulse, you know, kind of beans and vegetables, in other words, and water, good water. Prove thy servants 10 days. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee and the countenance of the other children, kind of a little test group here, that eat the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with us. In other words, if we look emaciated and they look wholesome, then we'll do what you say. But if we look good and they look pathetic, then let us eat as we wish. Cool. I mean, that is fair enough, is it not? That is God adapting himself to the Babylonian king idiocy. But God worked out a little way to show wisdom there. You know, I could get along in the most ungodly hellhole. I could get along. I will find a way. Because that's where you, as a Christian, you can live in any situation and God can give you favor. Did you know that? You can be in the most ungodly thing and change it, transform it. If you're self-governing under God. You can't be a follower. You can't be a game player. You got to be someone who has principle and you'll take all the punishment. Whatever it is. I'm ready to be punished. Beat me. Hate me. Abuse me. I don't care. I'm not going to be mad at you for doing that. You hear me? And sooner or later, people will respect. And they'll say, you know what? We did wrong. We did wrong. We shouldn't have done that. So you don't have to win to win. You can lose and still win. So he consented, verse 14, to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the meat, the portion of the king's meat. Then Meltzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. So, there it is. Proved them 10 days, and then he said, okay, from now on, you guys can eat the pulse, and you know, you don't have to eat the king's meat. That is beautiful. Did you see how you just changed the world? Right there. God just conquered the world. You see, the truth always wins. I have prepared myself not to live in the world as it is, but to live in the world as God tells me to live. And I'll change the world. The world will not change me. When my kids went to TCU, TCU did not infect them. They infected TCU. When my kids went to TWU, Margaret went there, it wasn't that school that changed her. It was her that changed that school. They would stand up and defy the teacher. You say that evolution, blah, 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 blah. Well, I don't believe that. I believe that's wrong. You say the world is 6,000 years old, or you know, 60 million years old, or whatever they say, billions or whatever. He said, I don't believe that. I believe it's just 6,000. He said, well, that's foolish. Did you get that out of the Bible? Yes. Now, you prove yours. She was able to argue with the teacher, and he ended up not only giving her a grade, but he said, you know, you need to speak up more. You think well. You know, so there they were. They changed the school, and the other kids went, wow, how'd you do that? You know, I didn't do anything. They just, you know, when the teachers told them, they say, well, Christianity's a lot of phony and so on. Kirsten stand up and say, no, that's not true. My father is a pastor, and he's not phony. Boy, and all the other kids were ready to throw their religion away in 2 seconds, but not my kids. They stood up, defied the teacher, and they did well. Got the top grades anyway. Got, you know, they found favor with God and man. Isn't that beautiful? You don't give up your principles. You to the death. I mean, go ahead, punish me, because I'm not scared. I'm not intimidated. You cannot bribe me, and you cannot intimidate me. You can't scare me, and you can't tempt me. I'm not temptable. You can tempt me all you want. I'm not tempted. I'm not going to do it. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found no one like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. When it says they stood before the king, it means he picked them out of all the others, and the others did not come into the king's presence anymore. Here was all the slovenly ones from all other parts of the world. Put them out. Said, I only want these Hebrew guys. These four Hebrew guys, I want them at the top. I don't know what makes them like they are, but they're the kind I trust. I'll tell you, when you are like that, you don't have to go along with the system. One person can break the entire system. I'm a fearsome thing, because I'm not afraid of the IRS. I'm not afraid of the U.S. government. I'm not afraid of the army. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid because I have God. And therefore, I don't care. I don't care if I win or lose. I'm going to stand for what I believe in. So you can't scare me or frighten me or whatever. I will frighten you. And they will do everything to get rid of me, because I'm going to mess up and I'm going to find all their bad stuff. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? So it's the town that's scared, not me. I won't tell you all the stories. It doesn't matter. But you have to have so much strength on the inside that you can defy everybody and no, I'm not going to do that. And neither are you. Oh, then you put the fear in them and they hate you then. They gotta destroy you. I'll tell you one story. I remember when I was in the Lutheran church, and all there were 11 pastors plus myself, 12 of us, and we were all Lutheran. And they were all compromising. So when I'd come to the meetings, I'd say, I don't want any compromising anymore. I would just tell them, I'm just one person. I'm the weakest one of all of them, too. I'm too puny even to say all that. But I don't have any fear. So I said, you all are, you know, you're not faithful at all. You shouldn't even be ministers. You should all be out. So they didn't like that talk. They didn't like that. So I said, you know, and I'll tell you what, I've been here for a number of years listening to all your nonsense. And, you know, you're sleeping and, you know, skinny dipping down the lake and you're doing this and you're worshiping the moon and so on. You're not ministers. You're not people of the gospel. And so I want you out. Well, they could outvote me easily. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Instead of, I'm going to tell the bishop on you. Ah, the bishop is for us. That's okay. I'm going to tell him anyway. And I'll convert him later. I just couldn't believe it. So I just said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take three meetings. The next three meetings are mine. I'm going to tell you why I believe what I believe. Then I'm going to tell you how I got there. And then I'm going to tell you where we're going to go from there. And then after that, if you don't like it, I'm out of here. And if you do, well, we'll just see where it goes. And so they did. And I told them all the things I believed. And they went, wow, that's pretty good. So I was kind of surprised. Wow. So I thought we were going to have a big argument over that. And they didn't argue. Then I told them how I got there. Here's my life story. And after I got done, they said, do you pray? And I went, yes. And they went, every day? And I said, yes. Now, these are ministers. These are all ministers. They don't pray, and they don't pray every day. And then they said, well, this one guy said, well, I prayed one time, and my sister had leukemia, and she died. It's the last time I prayed. And I said, you know what? I can understand that, but it's not my story. That's your story. My story is different. So whether you quit or not, that's your decision. But I was a pagan, and I met the living God. And that's not my God. So I'm not explaining yours, I'm explaining mine. And I'll tell you what, I won their hearts, even though I left. Because God told me, get out. Leave. This thing's about to blow apart, go now. And that's how I got out. So I left all my security, all my retirement, all everything, just throw it away. Walked out without a pencil. Started brand new. With nothing. Naked as a jaybird. That's the way to do it. David, you were part of it. David was there. It was powerful. And, you know, he had been his mom and dad. They didn't want to follow me. You know, it's okay. I didn't tell anybody to follow me. I said, don't follow me. You won't like it. But I'm going to do what God said. And 120 people came with me. I warned them, don't come. Don't do it. Unless you like trouble. Because I like it. Do y'all understand that? Now, God, you have to have a lot of inner, what the Jews call chutzpah. You have to have chutzpah. But you have to have inner character. You have to have something in the inside that is so strong that you're not afraid of all mankind. You're not afraid of anything. You don't care. Because Jesus bought me with a price. I'm owned by Him, and I like being owned by Him. I like the way He takes care of me. I love Him. And He taught me how to love my wife, and how to love my mother, and how to love people. I mean, He did all that. He taught me. He trained me. I didn't know how He did it. I was completely crazy. But He uncrazied me, taught me the truth, turned me upside down. And I thank God for that. I don't live the way I used to live anymore. I don't live that way. It's not that I couldn't. I don't want to. It's not interesting to me. I don't believe in it. It's not hard for me to do it because He killed me in those areas. That used to really interest me, to be part of the world and to make your way through the world. That doesn't interest me anymore. It doesn't interest me. Do y'all understand? I've changed my heart now. My will is different now. I don't want what I used to want. I don't think what I used to think. I don't feel what I used to feel. You got to teach your children to be self-governing under God. Do what God says. I fear God and I love God. So I hope you learned something tonight about how Daniel stood all alone. He did not follow the crowd. The easiest thing in the world is follow the crowd. Anybody can follow the crowd. Well, everybody's saying today that homosexuality is okay. Well, I say it's not. Well, you know, what are you, prejudiced or something? I'm just telling you what Jesus said. I'm going with Jesus on that. I say they're unhappy and miserable. I say they're in utter bondage and lying to themselves. What? I've told you this story. the top homosexual in Fort Worth, back here in the kitchen, I told his sister, she was a member of the church. She said, "Oh, my brother Kenny, he's the number one weightlifting strongman of all the homosexuals in Fort Worth. He's the guy's guy." I said, "Well, bring him here. I'll talk to him. We'll get that. We'll knock that out of him." I said, "You don't understand. He's the chief guy. He's the top guy. Good. Let's knock the chop tie down. Just bring him." He said, "He won't come." "No. Tell him I want him to come. He'll come." So he came. Stood right back there, right next to the washrooms back there. I remember standing right there. Say, "Well, let's just go straight to it. You ready to go straight?" He said, "Yeah." I told him the truth. Pretty soon he became a Christian. I'll tell you, here's the deal. Why don't you go home and tell your dad you're sorry? Why don't you go home and da 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 da? He said, "I'm not going to do it." I said, "Yes, you are. You're going to do it." And he did it. And he came back and he said, "Wow, that was the greatest change in my life." And he went and he told the whole community of the homosexuals in Fort Worth, "I'm a Christian now, and you guys are all wrong. This is the top guy." We had the funeral. His coffin was right here. His coffin was right here, sitting right here. This place was packed. The walls were covered with people. I don't know, David, if you came. Did you come to that? Kenny's thing? It was powerful. They were all here. Hearing the gospel, because that's what he told me to tell him. He said, "You tell them the gospel." That was powerful. Well, we went to Dallas. I went to the most homosexual area, because that's the big group. I don't know if you know the homosexuals. They're powerful. They're their biggest church right here, right next to us. And their little center is over here, the AIDS Center, and their little bar is right down there, down the end of the road. We're right here in the middle. Anyway, when we went to Dallas, we went to the Melrose Hotel. It's right, that's where all the homosexuals gather. So the Pink Mafia, we call them the Pink Mafia. They run the place. I mean, they're well off. They got power. I'm telling you what, they're powerful. So we had our thing right there, and we packed that place out. So much that we couldn't even stay there any longer. God knows how to break down lies. Those are not happy people. Those are not happy people. Those are bound people. They are in bondage. I remember one guy came to me and said, "You know, I drive a Mercedes-Benz. I got everything going for me, but I have to do what I have to do." And I said, "No, you don't." He said, "Yeah, I do, or I'll lose my Mercedes-Benz, and I'll lose the money I'm given," and so on and so forth. These wealthy, 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 wealthy people do all this kind of perverted stuff. They're powerful. They get things done. They control this city too. Did you know that? They control this city too. You don't know it, because they hide. They hide. They don't all come out of the closet. A lot of them stay in the closet. You don't even know who they are. Power. But you can break the strongest of them. And any addiction, any problem, whatever, it can all be broken, just like that. You can heal a marriage in 5 minutes, 7 minutes at the most. Maybe eight. Do y'all understand? It's nothing. That's the power of the kingdom of God. Teach your children to be self-governing.